Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We have a fascinating 30 minutes on the show today. I'm going to get into very important issues relating to some of the recent media events, and we're going to discuss concepts of God and how that plays into it. We had some shootings just north of where I am. I'm in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, but a couple hours north of here in Santa Barbara, as you've probably heard, were some mass shootings. The mainstream media has done their best to report on this, but I'm going to talk on today's show about why the mainstream media is missing a key ingredient here and why this happened related to a false concept of God. And I'm going to discuss some of the questions you've all sent in on the subject of God, culture, and religion. I'll be right back in a few moments at Richard Rossi Live. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back. Elliot Rogers, in this unfortunate carnage up in Santa Barbara, posted in YouTube videos and in a manifesto why he was disillusioned with life and with people, a lot of it centering around his rejection by his peers, his inability to successfully date the opposite sex, and his resentment of the guys that were more of the alpha males and had the girls. And unfortunately, obviously, a troubled young man who had mental health issues. There's several things on the surface that I learned from watching some of the mainstream media reports, but I want to dig below the surface. But on the surface of it, there's three important lessons that I saw. Number one, well, just that kids with guns kill people. I'm not saying all kids with guns kill people. I'm not saying that some of you, I know there's some of you out there that are gun devotees and maybe do some fun shooting with targets and things like that with your kids. But I'm talking about troubled, mentally unsound individuals being able to get guns this easy. There's something wrong there. That's the lesson number one. Number two is that we need to be kind to people that are odd, people that are, maybe marching to a different drum, lack the social intelligence or social graces to kind of fit in. We need to listen to them. We need to hear them. We need to try to, show kindness to them, even if you're one of the cool kids on the block out there, college students listening. Those kids are a little odd. Be kind enough to, be a friend to them and take a moment with them and chat with them and make them feel accepted. And don't, it's so easy with peer pressure to jump in and make fun of somebody that's a little different. Don't do that, because a lot of these shooters are going on media, social media, in Elliot Rogers' case, and putting up YouTube videos. And a lot of these other school shooters have put things out there and writing things about why they did what they did. So they want to be heard. They have something to express. And, that's huge. Loving our neighbor is listening to our neighbor, taking the time to hear them. So that's a second lesson. So my first lesson I saw just watching the news reports, I thought kids with guns kill people, troubled kids with guns kill people. And secondly, we need to be kind to those that are different. These are some of the kind of the mainstream things that jumped out at me. And I would say a third thing that jumped out at me was just the mental health. In the Reagan administration, there was policies to close down a lot of the mental health facilities, unfortunately. And out here in Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, there's just encampments of homeless people that were once, housed in mental health facilities. And so with the cutting of certain social programs, I came from a background where I went to a fundamentalist Bible school, conservative Bible school, where they taught us that the church would pick up the slack, and this is the church's job. But unfortunately, the church didn't pick up the slack. In fact, I worked for a church where I was the minister, and I would let some of the homeless guys that were bipolar that were sleeping on the streets come and sleep in the church building at night, and I got in trouble with the church board. So, you know, the church really doesn't pick up the slack on this stuff. So we need to be more aware of mental health. We need to have the help for mental health. The law enforcement needs to have the ability and the training to better discern and diagnose people that have mental health issues. But I want to go past those three, what I think are pretty obvious lessons. I think 90% of you listening can buy into those three problems, that, you know, there's a problem when someone has trouble can buy a gun. And number two, we need to do a better job of being aware and listening to folks that are different. Number three, as I said, we need better mental health. Those are the obvious lessons. The mainstream media usually hits the obvious, but the media is missing the key here of some very, very profound root issues dealing with the concept of God. And that's what I want to talk about right now. In his YouTube video, Elliot Rogers said that he was going to be like a god and visit violent retribution on those who reject him. Let me repeat that and let it sink in. Elliot Rogers, in his chilling YouTube video before killing, I think it was six people, said he was going to be like a god visiting violent retribution on those who reject him. That's the fundamentalist false concept of God I was taught. And when you believe God treats you that bad, and that concept's out there. I mean, I'm going to say it's controversial, and I don't mean to pick on or criticize other people out there trying to do their best to share their faith, but there's that concept is being shared every day. I just read a column by Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, just in the last few days, and he said if we don't stand up and condemn certain social sins and issues out there, the God will be mad at us, and his wrath will be visited upon us, that sort of thing. So it was that thing of he was trying to kind of motivate his audience by fear to join him in his agenda against certain things. Now, his father, I think, did a much better job in sharing the gospel of grace and the love of God. I think his father, in his friendship, in reaching across the aisle to people of varying political parties and being a spiritual counselor to every president from, I think, Truman on, whatever party they came from, he was in that White House, he was ministering to them. I think his dad did a far better job in representing Christ than Franklin's doing right now. But this is a concept that's out there. And you treat people really bad when you think God treats you really bad. We become what we worship. God created man in his own image, and then man returned the favor and created a God in his own image, a God who hates the people that the person hates, a person that crusades. They create a God who crusades against the people that they crusade against. I remember when this earthquake hit Haiti a couple years ago. Do you remember that? I don't know if I'm jogging your memory. The news media is so quick now that we just think about the current stories. But a couple years ago, there was this earthquake on Haiti. And Pat Robertson, and, you know, I know this world. I've been on the 700 Club a couple times. Well, Pat Robertson came on TV and started blaming the victims of this horrible, horrible earthquake, in contrast to Roberto Clemente, who I recently made a movie about, and I thank you all for your support of our film, Baseball's Last Hero, 21 Clemente Stories. And if you haven't seen my movie, please see it. And Clemente will show you what a true Christ-like individual was who reached out to the earthquake victims in Nicaragua instead of blaming them. But Pat Robertson started just blaming all the people in Haiti for the earthquake. And here's children separated from parents dying in the rubble. But Pat Robertson came on TV. And I'll do his quote in a Pat Robertson voice where he does a very bizarre laugh when he talks about a wrathful God violently visiting curses upon his enemies. He does this weird laugh. A lot of these guys do it. I don't know why. So a psychologist could explain it better than me. But he's like, praise God. You know, something happened a long time ago in Haiti. And now, by the way, as I'm doing my Pat Robertson voice here, this is an exact quote. I'm not making this up. Praise God, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about this, praise God, but they were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III or whatever, hallelujah, and they got together, and they swore a pact to the devil, and they said, devil, praise God, we will serve you, Satan, if you'll get us free from the French. Now, this is a true story. And I can talk about this here on CBN and tell you the true story about how the devil said, okay, it's a deal. Serve me, and I'll get you free from the French. And ever since then, the people in Haiti have been cursed by one thing after the other. And that's why this earthquake came, unquote. So the earthquake, Pat Robertson told us, was a violent judgment from God because hundreds and hundreds of years prior, under Napoleon, he claims the Haitian people made a pact with the devil. And so in his concept of God, God's up there, you know, on the throne, and God's saying, let's see, who have I forgot to take violent retribution on here? Let me see here. Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, check. Destroyed everyone in Noah's flood, check. Let me see here. Oh, Haiti, how did I overlook that? Wow, 300 years have gone by. I haven't paid him back for making that pact with the devil. Well, better late than never. I know these current Haitians had nothing to do with that, but I'm going to wipe out all their kids and people and, you know, send an earthquake there now since they made that pact, you know, back a few hundred years ago. With the devil. Do you remember in Katrina? Pat Robertson during Katrina said God was punishing the poor people there in for the sins of the partygoers at the Mardi Gras. Now, my wife and I, as some of you may know, met at a fundamentalist Bible college back in, and we got met and got married there in 1984. Our chancellor, Jerry Falwell, kind of did this, might have been a part of starting this trend of, you know, it's, you get a lot of media attention when you make these really, you know, horrific blaming type of statements after disasters. But right after the Twin Tower bombings, 9-1-1, 2001, Jerry Falwell horrified those of us who knew him. And this is his exact quote, and I'll do my best Jerry Falwell voice. Jerry Falwell did a low voice. He worked with a vocal coach, I think, early in his ministerial career, I was told, when I was studying at Liberty, because when he first started, he had more of a twangy southern voice, but then he got this low baritone to sound like the awesome God, you know. So here's his quote. I'm going to give you the exact Jerry Falwell quote in my best Jerry Falwell voice. Hopefully, I'll bring you back to the feeling that he gave us. Jerry Falwell, quote, right after 9-1-1. The abortionists have got to bear some burden for this because God will not be mocked. When we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. And I really believe, Pat, that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen. Unquote. So Robertson and Falwell may see themselves as Old Testament prophets. I just see them as, frankly, when they say things like that, they're acting like religious buttheads. Because fundamentalists, whether Christian or Muslim, worship a mafia hitman God, the kind of God that was in the consciousness of Elliot Rogers when he said, I'm going to be like God and take violent retribution on those who reject me. And by the way, there's similarities between Christian fundamentalists and Islamic fundamentalists. Because right when 9/11 happened, if you listen to the Islamic fundamentalists, they were saying the same thing as Falwell and Robertson. A Saudi professor, after a big tsunami killed 150,000 people, said it was Allah's punishment for fornication. And basically, this is a quote from the Islamic fundamentalists at the same time of the natural disaster. And I thank my friend Marlene Winnell for this quote, which she published in her piece in Huffington's Post. Her another friend of hers, Valerie Tirico. Here's the Muslim fundamentalist quote. These great tragedies and collective punishments that wipe out villages, towns, cities, and entire countries are Allah's punishments of the people of these countries, even if they are Muslims. Did you catch that? They're using pretty much the same words as Falwell and Robertson. And that's why I talk about things like this. This is why my wife and I created Eternal Grace, a community of artists in Hollywood, to give healthy spiritual support, is there is a desperate need to teach people about the real Jesus instead of the religious Jesus. The real Jesus lends a hand to victims of tragedy, as Roberto Clemente did. The religious Jesus points a finger of blame. The real Jesus brings compassion. The religious Jesus brings condemnation. The real Jesus heals people. The religious Jesus hurts people. The real Jesus brings love. The religious Jesus brings law. The real Jesus brings grace. The religious Jesus brings guilt. In Matthew 25, Jesus said he would judge the nations by one singular criteria. He said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me." Truly spiritual people have mercy, compassion, reluctance to condemn, understanding, standing up for the underdog. Another thing you got to watch out with fundamentalists is they're always trying to scare you about the end of the world. I remember recently a fundamentalist radio evangelist named Harold Camping was saying the world was going to end. This is when I was shooting my movie on Roberto Clemente. And it was a Saturday, I remember, because we were shooting some scenes in Long Beach. And the same guy said it would end in 1994, and here he was saying it would end again recently. This guy recently passed, by the way, without the rapture happening, Harold Camping. Way back in 88, I remember a similar evangelist, Edgar Wisenant, wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 88. I thought it was a little nuts then, but I had a friend of mine whose dad was a pastor, and he said it was serious. He said it was could be valid. And the Trinity Broadcasting Network was interrupting the programming and giving advice on preparing for the rapture. I remember when the year 2000 approached and the evangelical radio stations fed these Y2K fears, and I had concerned fundamentalist friends that were chastising me, "Richard, I can't believe you're not stocking up on guns and water." We had a big New Year's Eve get together, and a lot of my friends that had been listening to this stuff got real nervous about New Year's Eve in 2000. And I knew we were safe because I spoke with friends in other parts of the world in different time zones where it was already the year 2000 and the computers hadn't crashed and the apocalypse had not arrived. And I wrote a novel around this time about a boy named Jeremiah Young, a coming-of-age story, and his next-door neighbor's this fundamentalist pastor, and he's always telling Jeremiah, "The end is near, the end is near," and he's always scaring Jeremiah. So if you want to kind of understand the culture of fundamentalism and the fears and this concept of God, you would enjoy my novel, Stickman. It's on Amazon. We don't know when the end comes. We don't. I had a beautiful cousin named Linda, and she just bounced into the room with a lot of energy, vivacious blonde girl. She reminds me, my daughter Karis reminds me of her a little bit, just that really charismatic, blonde, young woman. And I remember as kids going to Westview Park and having fun and riding the roller coasters. And one of the last times I saw her alive, we went to Washington, D.C., and we're clowning around visiting historic sites, Washington Monument in the Capitol. And we were all shocked at the sad news when she died in a car accident shortly thereafter in her 20s. An Eric Clapton song came out about this time, Tears in Heaven, and it was a very comforting song. And I say all that to say life is so unpredictable, and you don't know when the end comes for anybody on this earth. And the obsession, there's this obsession. Why? Why do people listen to Harold Camping, people like this that say Saturday the world will end? Well, it's because they offer certainty. We hunger for certainty, and people are drawn to someone that gives them some sort of certain prediction. And that's the same with militant atheists or militant religious fundamentalists. You know, Richard Dawkins attracts attention because he gets, and Hawking, who supposedly claimed he knows there's no afterlife, anytime someone says they're certain about something they can't really be certain about, people follow them. You know, if Camping's right and the only people in the true church are his radio listeners and the rest of the world is burned in fire on the date he predicts, and his God is like Elliot Rogers' concept of God and taking retribution, then that God's more like Hitler than like the love that Jesus taught. I hope heaven's like my Facebook friends list, an eclectic mix of people from different backgrounds that I've met from traveling and personal experiences that are from every tribe, nation, and kindred. Well, Camping was wrong. The world didn't end that Saturday. And he's also wrong about God. The scripture says God is love. The Greek word is agape, unconditional, universal love. Jesus demonstrated that when he was a friend of sinners and a friend of the fallen. He walked it out. And so these concepts of God are extremely important to discuss, to expose. When I was in the fundamentalist world, I was shocked when I saw the man behind the curtain, when I saw the racism that was there. I heard people pretty high up in this well-known ministry that I was in using the N-word and speaking in racial ways, racist ways. And there is some humor in the craziness of religion. I did a comedy routine that's become quite controversial. It's on YouTube. If you put in Richard Rossi, Recovering Fundy, you can watch it on YouTube. And the scripture says, a merry heart doeth good as a medicine, that the humor is our best friends. And I have to laugh about it because religion can get really crazy. And, you know, I took everything seriously they taught me in the fundamentalist world. I was very sensitive and very committed to it. And that made it tougher for me to recover from it. I don't regret, you know, my time in that world because I met my wife there and we have two beautiful children. And our faith and family are strong. But I was damaged mentally, emotionally, and spiritually there. I had to heal from some of those strongholds of religion, some of those ways of thinking, and go through a real transformation process. And my healing has happened through many means. Practicing my art has helped a lot, and acting, receiving prayer, therapy. I go to therapy on a regular basis, recovery, support groups, and through the support of Eternal Grace, the community we've created. And I now believe that God is a lot nicer than the God that Elliot Rogers described on YouTube, a God who takes violent retribution on those who reject him. I see through a glass darkly now a God of unconditional love. And I'm walking in the warm sunshine of grace. And like Martin Luther King Jr. said, I can say, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And I hope that those of you listening may know a God of grace and not guilt, that you'll come to know this. We celebrate it here in Hollywood. My wife and I host potlucks in our apartment and invite others, and we talk about exploring if God is real and what God is like. We share a meal and have a time of worship and prayer. And many in the group are healing from this kind of over-scrupulosity and legalism from fundamentalist backgrounds. And most of the group are artists, actors, and musicians. If you're interested at all in the LA area to come to one of our groups, you could send an email to eternalgracechurch@yahoo.com. And we sit in circles rather than rows. We meet in homes and parks more than institutional buildings. And we learn. We're learning about what it is to shine our lights and share God's love and God's healing power. And we believe in a God of unconditional love. And we have a hunger for spiritual connection. Because we've been through different groups and heard different teachings, but what we've come to understand through it all is that the goal is love. Jesus said, they will know, you are my disciples by your love. Love fulfills the law. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love never fails. There's a chapter of the Bible I love so much I committed it to memory. It's the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And in that chapter, Jesus asks a very poignant question. And he says, have I been such a long time with you and yet you don't really know who I am? And I think he could say that to many professing Christians. Have you been such a long time with me and yet you don't really know me? You talk about Jesus, you sing about Jesus, you preach about Jesus. But deep down, have you also been indoctrinated in the God concept Elliot Rogers talked about right before he killed those six people and said, I'm going to be like the God who takes violent retribution on those who reject him? You know, in John 12:32, Christ said, when you lift me up, all will be drawn to me. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You see, a lot of people aren't real attracted to religion or God or Jesus because the concept Elliot Rogers talked about is what's lifted up instead of a clear understanding of the real Jesus. I mentioned these contrasts before. These came to me in a flash and I wrote them down. But I think these contrasts are kind of a litany of understanding the letter of the law versus the Jesus of love. And let me repeat them since the time has just went by talking about this, but the religious Jesus is law, the real Jesus is love. The religious Jesus brings guilt, the real Jesus brings grace. The religious Jesus brings condemnation, the real Jesus brings compassion. The religious Jesus hurts people, the real Jesus heals people. The religious Jesus uses people to build the church, the real Jesus uses the church to build people. The real God does not violently wipe out those who reject him. The real God meets imperfection and rejection with grace. Yes, I made a film, Sister Amy, and it was at the New Beverly Cinema, and I remember there was a lot of positive reaction, but there were some religious people that got upset with my film because I showed that she was an imperfect person. And I was on a religious pedestal in the past as a church leader, and it was a hard fall down. And my life's turned around through God's grace. But the thing I learned is that when you have this Elliot Rogers concept of a God who's so harsh, or the Franklin Graham recently spoke about this week, it's so damaging to the person, to the society. It's so dysfunctional. God is the only one qualified to judge, and yet it says in the Bible, God's mercies and compassion are everlasting and new every morning. And as we've now come to our closing seconds, may God's peace be with you. May his face shine upon you. May the wind be at your back. May the sunshine fresh upon your face, and may you be free from the tyranny of perfectionism. May you be free from these false concepts of God, and may you rest in the bosom of eternal grace, unconditional love. In his precious name, amen and amen. Go with God and be blessed. Thanks for joining me today at Richard Ross Live.